Welcome back. Elliot's wiggling down in Atlanta. For those of you that are into that kind of thing, I know a guy.
City of Atlanta.
The metropolitan area.
The Met. Matt's got himself a nice 1.5 liter bottle of Poland Spring.
Oh, don't out me like that.
The finest the earth can provide. Whereas I've got the Great Value brand, 16.9 fluid ounces.
You're spilling too many off-air secrets right now.
I know. I am. It's that, the you know, the tiny lid plastic bottles that are like super flexible. Yeah, I got one of those bad boys. So we are ready to roll. We're here. There's beer.
I'm still queer.
I still eat steer, I think. I don't know. I don't like this.
Yeah, these are two beautiful voices that everyone probably missed quite a bit these past few months.
Okay, so honestly, how many listeners do you think we lost or gained this summer?
I'm not going to feed your ego, so...
Baby, it's already been fed. Oh, my head's huge.
It's good to hear you two.
Ed Bighead.
Go lovers spat again.
We're like an old married couple.
Dude, all right, so I moved like over 1,000 miles away to get away from this and all of this, and you specifically, Andy, Matt, you're all right.
Yeah, you'll come back. Don't lie, Elliot. We know. Yeah, we all know.
You moved even further from me now.
I thought you were still in the Midwest. Where are you now? East Coast?
I'm in Maine.
You're in Maine?
Yeah.
God damn.
I'll give out my address on air. That'll be a fun season four.
Yeah, in our season four opener, we dox Matt for... Yeah.
Actually, that's Patreon.
Being British. Anyway. So that's fun.
Subscribe to the Patreon and hunt me down.
Yeah, come to my house. Yeah,
come to my
house. Subscribe to Patreon. Come to my house. I don't care.
Yeah,
what could happen?
No, that could be fun. Not for me, but maybe your address, Andy. People won't know.
No, don't they already have enough of my information? Let's bring it back a little bit.
All right.
No, we put it out there. Game on. You know, come and find me.
Elliot just moved to Georgia, so he owns like all of the guns immediately.
Come and find me.
So he's waiting for an excuse to use most of them.
I got a lien on my house.
Yeah, for his guns.
That's right. It was the ammo that did it. I got to feed him.
Yeah, that'll do it. You guys ready for today's topic of the day? I guess topic du jour. Some might say we get fancy for season four.
Oh, don't bring the fringe into this, Andy.
That's a good point.
What's the topic du jour?
Acorns.
Woo!
Elliot, get that griddle ready. We're talking about acorn pancakes.
Hell yeah.
I just got deja vu and I feel like I've actually lived this moment before. Are you sure this is season
four? Well, we have to start by going back, way back to the Ice Age. So a young squirrel named Scrat. And an acorn.
Wait, are you doing my bit?
No, keep going, Matt. It's better when you do it.
You know what? We're just going back to interviews. Hit the music, Dom.
All right, Andy, fine. You tell us about Lord and Savior Scrat.
I want to see him on a cross. That'd be amazing, just for the
that
record.
That could be a fun needle point.
You telling we'll me you haven't fought the squirrels with the bird feeder and sent a message to the other squirrels, Andy? I know you have.
I mean, I haven't, but I've wanted to.
Mm.
I went to go feed the sheep today, and the fattest fucking mouse was in my backyard, and I'm ready to stop feeding my cats. I'm like, listen, guys, they're getting out of control here. Step it up. This is ridiculous.
You yell at your cats, you yell at your kids. There's food everywhere. We live on a farm.
It's like training day. Like, let's go, guys.
You're telling me you're hungry.
Survive or die. Those are your options.
Oh, man.
So, all right. Anyways.
We're talking about acorns today. My God.
Yeah, let's talk about the oak tree, our wonderful, humble oak tree. It's a tree. Everyone knows this, right? The oak. Most people can identify it, right?
I'm furiously taking note. I didn't.
Yeah, if you... Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that. So, the oak tree... Sorry, hold on. Got a cough.
I got to send you one of my value bag off drops.
Is it? It's not great value, then I don't want it. I'm a great value or only diehard buyer.
Isn't that Walmart generic?
It is Walmart generic.
Sorry.
This is very important information about the oak tree and its relation to the Walmart locations across the country. If you look at every single Walmart, there was once an oak tree in that building, but now they're all gone. because we have Walmart.
Devastating.
That might actually be true.
We can honor the Oaks by purchasing all of our water through Walmart and its beautiful brand, Great Value.
Half a liter at a time.
Where they value people over profits, obviously. So the oak tree has existed for 55 million years. It exists over five continents. There's over 600 species, over 90 of which are here in North America. Basically, that makes it like the most important tree species on Earth. Now, the oaks support here in North America over 400 different insects, which is, you know, just a reminder, the basis of our entire food web. Across the globe, oaks have been documented supporting over 4,300 different life forms, and I'm willing to bet there's still a bunch more that haven't been found. Now, despite it even being a wind-pollinated species, there's still a lot of evidence showing that their pollen is also crucial for native pollinators, especially in cooler parts of North America where there aren't other pollen options.
I know we're talking about trees, and I do know the difference between a plant cell and an animal cell, but I feel like this is beast mode for trees, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like kind of...
Treest mode.
They just do it. No, that's, Andy.
That, well, hang on. Have we considered the full implications of going treest mode?
Tell me, Matt. I want to know more about this.
It's like tree beard when they marched on Isengard. That I would describe as going treest mode. Elliot, are you...
Yeah, I will allow it. Yeah, that actually makes sense. I'm on board now.
I was thinking of Aqua Teen Hunger Force when the trees rip off Carl's skin to write on.
That's fun.
Do you know what I'm talking about, Matt? I know
no,
Elliot does.
No, it sounds terrifying and bad. That's the show with the talking.
The fries?
Thing of French.
Yeah. Yeah. Elliot, give me a good Carl.
You see my pool? It's in the backyard. And it looks sweet.
I work out at a home.
And you see that? The still waters? Still waters run deep.
Yeah. So that's your homework, Matt. You're going to go watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Okay.
It's culturally valuable. You need to know it. Sorry. It's just, if you want to fully understand American cosmopolitan culture, you have had to have watched Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
What makes you think I want to understand American cosmopolitan culture?
Because you're a man of the people, Matt. Keep up.
You got to know your enemy.
Yeah.
1812 part 2.
Let's bring it back to our good friend, the oak tree. We could call it the corn of the tree world.
I just had an idea.
Oh, God.
It hurt my brain. So you said the corn of the tree world. Is that where acorn comes from?
Yes.
No.
No, it isn't.
It isn't? I was just bluffing.
Honestly, I have no idea. So maybe. We should probably Google that, or I'm going to get like 500 messages about this telling me I was right or wrong or both. So.
I got this acorn etymology.
Yeah, this is how it begins.
I smoked a little bit. It wasn't the best high grade. It was, you know, some decent outdoors from my area that I'm from. And I thought you were going to tell me that oak trees were corn.
I mean, they kind of are. Anyways, all right. So everyone knows about acorns, right? Like
it
we all know.
A root. Is the answer. Sorry to interrupt. It shares a root.
It shares a root?
Linguistically.
Linguistically. All right. That you can't say it shares a root when you're talking about two different plants, because that gets really funny. Confusing.
Is it a seafloor grass or not?
Linguistically, it shares a root with both oak and corn. Acorn.
Cool. Fun facts brought to you by Matt.
Fun facts.
Despite historically having like acorns as part of our diet, obviously, we don't really anymore, right? So we have this kind of weird relationship with the oak tree and acorns. You know, we all have them around us, at least here on the East Coast and most of the West Coast. Acorns fall. We don't really pay much attention to them. They get broken. Squirrels are around going crazy, picking them up. And that's kind of it, right? Like, no one really cares. It's just kind of this slight annoyance. But that's not how it's always been.
Yeah, deja vu again. We're talking about acorn pancakes and acorn soup. Some acorn dish must have been popular, right?
Yes. So you had acorn pancakes, you had acorn bread, you had acorn porridge or acorage.
Nope.
Yeah. It's like Anchorage. Maybe that's where Anchorage came from. It was actually acorn porridge that they just smashed together.
Anchorage? Like the ships?
I thought it was Anchorage. Like, that's the last place you can stop before the ice kills everybody.
Talking about, like, Alaska. All of the above. Let's go with that.
Back to oak trees.
The point I was trying to make is that our relationship with acorns and oaks is really long and complex. And while if you do a quick Google to learn about, like, foraging acorns, there's a lot of great information out there. But I think that history has been, like, winnowed in how it's become understood, even, like, in the foraging community. So, like, processing, for example, is fairly easy to learn about, particularly one process in particular. Not to keep saying the word particular, but, like, cold leaching, right? But that's kind of a problem, too. There's only one process that's popular, and that in itself kind of erases this really complex historical component that, as we'll explore in a little bit, might actually be really important in making a better product from the acorns and making acorn as a food more accessible to the general public.
So there are, like, other methods of processing acorns other than cold leaching?
Well, that kind of makes sense, though, because removing bitterness, like tannins, can be done a few different ways with food. And I don't see why acorns would be any different, but just I don't know if there's been a recipe passed down.
Yeah, so the bitterness that turns people away from acorns as food is from the tannic acid. You're probably familiar with tannic acid from, like, wine, right? Now, removing the tannic acid can be done in a bunch of different ways and has been done in different ways by different communities across the globe. And in many places, these ancestral practices are still alive. So, for example, in Central California, the shells were cracked open with a stone and with a stone over another heavy flat slab of stone like an anvil, and the nut meats were ground with a mortar and pestle.
Love nut meat.
I know you do, Matt. Get that nut meat. Norm would be so proud of you. Now, they would be dipped into a stream for like a week or more until the tannins has been removed. That's your cold leaching process, right? Now, if you're listening to this and you haven't checked out our Substack, I'd recommend going to the piece on oaks and acorns because there is a really interesting graph that we're going to talk about and your mind is going to be blown. But first, commercial time.
Woo!
Hey there, it's me, Crazy Norm, down at Normal Norm's Nut Emporium on John Brown Drive. We're going nuts for nuts in Nutty November. We've got big nuts, small nuts, chestnuts, ground nuts, nut butter, buttery nuts, nut milk, milky nuts, nut cream, creamy nuts, and for the late night crowd, chocolate-covered CBD, deep-fried nuts. Want to join the nut extravaganza? Nut up and join the nut posse. Join other members and get your sack of nuts pounded for free whenever you come in and make the creamiest nut milk you've ever had in your own kitchen. Crazy Norm's Nut Emporium, 420 John Brown Drive or online at boardprols.com.
All right, boys, you see that picture of North America? The different ways acorns were processed up. Anything stand out to you? I know this is really great for an audio audience.
Yeah, we're looking at a visual here over an audio medium. So I'm going to try my best, which is probably the entire audience is worse. So bear with me.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
So there's a cluster of processing styles and that starts in the Northeast and it goes straight west over the Great Lakes. And then there's another one in the Southeast, like we'll say Virginia-ish, that goes all the way down the East Coast to like Louisiana, basically. So that's two clusters. And then we got two more. We got the West Coast that looks like it crawls all of the western seaboard of the United States down into Tijuana and like Mexicali a little bit. And then we have another one in the central part of, no, I'm going to call that the Southwest, like the west side of Texas, like to up into the Rockies, basically. Four clusters. I tried to describe four clusters as best I could.
Yeah, it's, but the so the ones in the Southwest are labeled eaten without leaching, and they were just. Could you describe that as going beast mode on the acorns? Just
maybe, but maybe they didn't have tannins though. Maybe they were like sweeter.
Oh, true.
Maybe they were.
Find out from Andy in just a minute.
Maybe they were. Now. We are going to talk about that, but first, because we're New England, so we're going to go first, obviously. I want to talk about that cluster, the Northeast. Sorry, Elliot.
Fuck it, Elliot.
Fuck the South.
Listen, I'm not going outside eating acorns anytime soon, so continue.
All right. So in the North, through the Great Lakes, they use lye for processing acorns. Now, lye is
No, man, I got this one. I remember this one. So lye is basically, at least traditionally, it was like wood ash or found in the fucking fireplace or the cook fires and stuff. They would get ashes out of there. And it's also a common ingredient they used to make corn, because I remember the corn episode. They used that to make corn edible for humans because there were nutrients that were locked up in the corn, and they released that in a process by mixing the lye with the corn called nixtamalization. I remember that big word. I looked it up and I learned it. I did good. So basically, you mix it with water and it makes a really caustic, like basic solution, which will remove tannins and a whole bunch of other anti-nutrients to make foods more edible for humans. I did it.
He did it. So exactly, like lye is used in preparing like a number of foods we still eat today. So it's not like just this historical thing. We still use it for olives, pretzels, among many other things.
Pretty charcuterie-based, sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of pickle-type stuff for foods that are otherwise inedible usually use something like a lye. Now, despite our continuous use of lye in processing foods, it has not been a common way for acorns to be processed in the foraging community.
Unless they're lying about it. Oh, God. Jesus.
I feel like I'm being outnumbered.
Yeah, it happens, Matt. Soon you're going to be
like... You got applauded by Andy.
Like, you got to help me, man.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
You got to help me.
I'm sorry. You need a professional.
Fuck.
It's going to cost money.
Jesus.
So, yeah, if you are interested in being un-Andied, we offer a special service of $29.99 a month through our Patreon.
Through the Patreon.
Where we will specifically beat this out of you. You give us our address, and whichever, either Elliot or Matt, whoever is closer, we're going to come to your house, and we're going to beat you with a stick until you say, puns are not funny.
Through the Patreon.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think we're going to, I would just like to isolate that and keep that as a news clip, because we're going to be the first cult that has deprogramming and we're going to make money on both sides. Boys.
Internalized. we've hacked it, guys. We can do it on both ends. It's all over everyone. We fucking figured it out.
Corner of the market.
They sell us their poison while they suppress our cures.
And then they sell us their cures.
Yeah.
That is the part that everyone has missed, and we are here bringing you
visionary. I think that's the end of the Poor Fool's Almanac. I think we've come full circle, boys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good season.
And back on acorns, Elliot and Matt, who are very excited to learn more about acorns. Ooh, so are talking about the fact that acorns are not a part of the standard American diet, despite them being literally everywhere around us, it's worth noting that there's still a history that is very active eating acorns across the globe, and there are even more ways to process acorns for eating than what we're covering just in North America. But before we can get to the different processes here in America, I do want to explain why the graphic of different processing methods that Elliot just went over for you guys so well is so important, and to understand it, we need to understand the history of oaks in North America.
I think need is doing kind of a lot of heavy lifting in that last sentence.
Andy will never understand that I, as a black man, would never actually want to go back in time to any time that has existed before me. So just tell us about the acorns, because you always do this back in time bit, and I just...
Listen,
I didn't even bring up
Scat or whatever his name is. Like, that was Matt. Take it up with fucking Andy Jr. over here.
I still think it's your fault.
Don't you ever call me Andy Jr.
AJ.
Fuck.
Matt is now AJ. It's done.
Oh, no.
And it works great because he can also be like AJ from The Sopranos. We can just like be annoyed by him. It's a win-win. And then I'm Tony Soprano. It all works.
I can see you eating cold cuts out of the fridge right now. Sad.
Jesus fucking Christ.
The ducks. What the fuck did he say about the ducks? I don't know. I can't remember. I wish I knew off the top of my head. I got to rewatch that show. So anyways, the oaks. For us to understand, I guess, our ecosystems and why there are so many why there's so many different oaks, we kind of have to understand like how that happened. And it does have to go back to the last ice age. Now, we don't know where the first oaks emerged, but basically they had traveled across the entire globe prior to the ice age. The ice age hit, and it was only then that they started to retreat back to the equator, unable to continue sharing genetics across, you know, the whole world, right? And this is where we start to see the beginning of the oak varieties that we know today. The rapid cooling made many of the northern species go quickly extinct, and this thinning of the genetic pool allowed for basically two groups of oaks to exist, and those are the American continental oaks and the Eurasian. Now, in the United States, these are further broken down into eight main lineages, three of which are endemic just to the Americas: the red, the golden cup, and the southern live oaks. Now, nearly 20 million years later, as the climate returned temperate weather to the majority of the American continents, the red and white oaks reclaim the continents. Now, in this process, the natural landscape of North America divided the red and white oaks into lineages reflective of their new homes, which is evident today. Just ask Elliot trying to explain that map. The West Coast oaks are markedly different than the Southeastern, which are also different from both the drought-tolerant Texan oaks, which are again in stark contrast to our Northeastern oaks that we have here. Again, thinking back to that processing graphic above, we can see almost a mirror image of these lineages and how they were traditionally processed.
Elliot, did you want to impress us again with your descriptive talents?
Yeah. So North American continent, a little bit of Northern Central America bit, right? Big map, four separate clusters, pretty much are cardinal directions. Long ago, before the ice age, the oak trees were everywhere, and then it froze and it got cold and they crawled into the North American continent, like Andy was saying. And then the four nations at the time were living in harmony until the Fire Nation attacked, and then the Avatar.
Thank you, Elliot. Back to the desk.
Yeah, that was fun. So this diversity plays out in how the oak tree has been managed between continents, from the prescribed burns to pollarding and coppicing and everything in between. Here in North America, prescribed burns were the most impactful force in managing the ecosystem for oak habitats.
Yeah. It's fire beaver time. I'm going to start. I think Atlanta's getting a new hockey team in the NHL. Gary Bettman said they weren't, but fuck that guy. We're getting a new team. And I want it to be the Fire Beavers, the Atlanta Fire Beavers.
Beavers. We really need to sound.
That's right. But... And I'm going to remind everybody that William Tecumseh Sherman fucking burned this whole shit down from here to the fucking Atlantic Ocean. I'm doing that shit. Fire Beaver time. Let's go.
Hell yeah. Fire Beaver time. Dom, we need a noise for that. Bring me. Give me what you got.
Oh, hell yeah. I've been waiting to bust this out.
Didn't know you were listening, but all right.
I'm always here, Andy.
Well, that was kind of creepy.
You say creepy. I say helpful. A clear North American versus British English dialect divide.
Anyways, in my experience, whenever you talk about the idea of eating acorns, ahem, Elliot, people immediately think of it being like a hunter-gatherer food, but in reality, it was a common food crop when grains weren't available, particularly during the expansionism in the United States, and obviously much, much further back. Even as far back as 5,000 years ago, we have recently found evidence of massive subterranean storage specifically for nuts, specifically in Georgia.
Oh, hell yeah. I feel like, here we go. The Dirty South Nut Emporium definitely sounds like a club that would be in Atlanta.
We talking about the mast economy?
Yeah, I got your mastectomy, guy. Just call me Normal Norm. I got your nuts right here.
Jesus.
Ooh, I don't love that. So anyway, yeah. So basically, the ability to store surplus nuts, the mast economy, as Matt referred to it, was potentially one of a number of factors that changed the way societies existed in North America. And while the example on St. Catherine's Island in Georgia offers us an example of how these storage facilities worked, there's evidence of similar features across the Northeast and basically the East Coast, suggesting that these techniques were used by a number of tribes, even if not for mast crops, and surpluses that could be traded helped build robust long-distance trade across the East Coast.
Okay, so are we talking storage? Are we talking like... is this the pyramid grain storage meme kind of level? So are we talking about like a little extra cash, like a bank of nuts that you can go withdraw from during the winter?
Okay, so based on the bigger pits of the site, which were probably the ones used for that long-term storage, this one particular site could store enough acorns to feed roughly 550 people just acorns for an entire year.
Jesus Christ. Does Normal Norm know about this?
Where do you think he came from? He literally dug himself out of that pit.
He's telling me, you, Andy, a white guy, you have co-opted this. Normal Norm is actually the spirit of a 5,000-year-old indigenous dude, and you put him in a commercial for our shitty podcast.
He did it. He paid for that podcast, Elliot. He sponsored us because he believes in what we're doing.
Normal Norm actually gets most of the Patreon.
He does. And that is our, that is what we do. This is how lore is created, Elliot. Just embrace it. So we also have evidence of trading soapstone bowls across the same region that were predominantly covered in that oak canopy, which would also suggest that preparing nuts drove the trade for these heavy, large bowls, despite the fact that they were, well, heavy and large.
I refuse to insert an immature nut joke here.
You say insert nut joke?
Well, even for me, it was kind of gross, low-hanging fruit. Sort of, you know, like oak trees or...
He's saying his nuts are heavy and large, Matt. Get it?
You know what? You guys need a break.
Dom, you're still here?
Hey, this is Andy from the Poor Pearls Almanac letting you know about our Burr Oak Acorn Competition. We're looking for the biggest, most tannin-free acorns you got, with a small prize attached to both the biggest, the most tannin-free, and the best combined, with naming rights as we propagate those selections to boot. For more information, visit poorproles.com and click on the Burr Oak competition bar. So we've got these big storage spaces, soapstone bowls for short-term storage and processing, and conveniently, evidence showing peak oak pollen percentages for these specific regions of North America, suggesting that oaks were being preferred by human management, probably for consuming.
Now, when you say they were trading for these bowls, like, what are we talking about?
Well, there are only a few places soapstone bowls could be made, and in some instances, they managed to travel like 1,000 miles, like basically what Elliot did to get away from me. Now, imagine Elliot moving that distance.
I brought a bunch of bowls, some bongs,
but throwing that shit on your back, like a rock bowl without domesticated horses or cars or any of that stuff.
I had domesticated dogs with me.
Yeah, without them. Do it without them. No dogs, no cars, no planes.
Oh, I mean,
yeah. So that bowl is probably a pretty big deal.
That sounds hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the point of all of this is to say that acorns have been a huge part, not of just our diet as humans, but even our evolution and how we organize as humans, and continue to be, historically speaking, until fairly recently, and basically since grain was cheap and affordable. And that brings us back to this question of how to process it.
So we've waited 5,000 years in this story to this point, and we're finally getting to the meat and potatoes of the episode.
Or nuts and potatoes?
Tree nuts and ground nuts.
The yin and yang of the esoteric crop world. Sky nuts, dirt nuts.
Okay, I like that less. But I will say that sky nut makes me never want to say Mile High Club again.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm only going to refer to it as sky nut from now on.
Sky nuts. Move over, corn of the sky.
Yeah.
You're now just sky nut. Rebrand.
I fly a lot too.
I feel like plain peanuts must have already cornered that market.
They don't serve peanuts on planes anymore because everybody's got an allergy now. You get gluten-free cookie, almond bar, and what's the third option? I don't even know what it is. Babe, what's the third option?
This episode has a guest appearance by... Yeah. Okay, so anyways.
Yeah, this episode is sponsored by the third option.
It's not bad.
Yes. The third secret other thing.
That sounds like a really good production company.
Entertainment 720.
Yeah.
Government contractor. I don't know. What do you want? Do I work for the CIA? I don't know.
You tell me,
Elliot.
I don't know.
All these guns I have aren't illegal. Or are they?
Or were they?
Are they legal or a secret?
They were illegal before you moved to Georgia.
Or were they or are they?
All right. So, nuts, Elliot. We're talking about these sky nuts. Like we've pointed to at this point, there's a very specific history of processing nuts based on where you live and the specific types of trees in your area. And it's worth considering how that processing type might have evolved in order to, you know, get the best flavors from these acorns. Like, I know, culturally speaking, like when we talk about like hunter-gatherers and stuff like that today, we like assume that they were just like surviving, but like chances are they actually wanted their food to taste good too. So they were taking the time to make stuff taste good. And like Matt said, a lot of people are familiar with like water leaching, and it's a fine process. But I think it's worth exploring ways that these acorns had been processed in the past that might give us a better insight into producing a better product.
Yes, of course, a better product. We all need a better product, a better acorn.
Too natural. It's too natural from them. I don't like it.
I hate that. Why wouldn't you just do a British accent?
That's
like you're
very culturally insensitive, Andy.
Wow. Wow. You can't be culturally insensitive to British people, first off.
First of all, I thought it was really good and like too natural.
Well,
I didn't know you had chops like that, Matt. Like, I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
You know what, AJ? I don't like this.
Jesus, I'm not AJ, man.
You just got to put you down. No, yell it at him.
All right. So generally speaking, there are two primary methods to process acorns. The first one is utilizing that long water leaching process. And the next one is through nixtamalization,
which is a chemical process that removes the anti-nutrients from the food so that you can eat it and make it good.
Oh, yeah.
You sound like, what the fuck was that
Macho
show
Macho Man Randy Savage.
I mean, yes, if Macho Man Randy Savage did the I'm just a bill thing, except about acorns.
Oh, you see, it goes to Congress, brother.
You know the I'm just a bill? What the fuck was that show called?
Hang on. It's going to come to me. Oh, you messed me up. I know this one.
Schoolhouse Rock.
Schoolhouse Rock. That's it.
If Macho Man Randy Savage did Schoolhouse Rock, it would be that. About acorns. Anyway, so the point is, yes, we've got these two different methods. So basically, we covered what that looks like for the water leaching, right? You either take shelled or crushed acorns, soak them in water, running or not, ideally running, but that's not accessible. That's not accessible for a lot of people. And over a number of days, they'll lose those tannins. Now, if the water isn't running, you would replace that water like daily or twice a day. And that way you're pulling the tannins out, putting fresh water in that can again pull those tannins out. Depending on the type of oak, this process can take a few days to a few months. Now, when the acorns are no longer bitter, which you can only find out by taking a bite, dry them, grind them into flour, whatever you want to do with them.
Well, I'm sure glad I moved from the Northeast where the acorns are bitter to and the Southeast where I can just eat this sweet nut meat without leaching it, because that's what the map said. That's what the map said. I'm just going by
Southwest.
The map.
Southwest is where those tannin-free nuts are, the sweet nuts, those milky nuts.
I don't want bitter nuts.
Bitter nuts are a whole other nut.
I never would have figured this out.
You never would have moved to Georgia if you didn't know the nuts weren't sweet.
I mean, they got peanuts down here, pretty good, and they got pecans too. Those are pretty good. I'm not allergic to nuts, so I'll eat all the nuts. They're pretty good.
Peanuts aren't nuts, right?
They're legumes.
Yeah,
but they call it a peanut because I mean, a person like me walked up to it and was like, "That's a peanut." I don't know what the fuck a legume is.
It was a rebrand. Actually, I don't know.
Ground nut. Brown nut didn't sound good. And I'm saying that.
All right. So anyways, Elliot's really into talking about nuts today. I don't know what his issue is. I don't know where it's coming from. Like Elliot said, nixtamalization is pretty understood within like the context of corn, right? It's this fundamental process to make it digestible. Now, the same process is effective at pulling tannins out of many crops, including sorghum and more. That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Wine
I thought
grapes.
I was going to have more.
That's all
wine
I got.
Grapes. You can do that. And it can be used for acorns, too. Despite this, it's largely underrepresented in like foraging or even like research spaces. Now, in many ways, this is exciting. And you could see the excitement on Elliot's face as I'm saying this, because it also suggests that there are like a lot more effective ways to access extensive calories from our landscape while reducing the need for new crops, even tree crops, which, while good over a long period of time, might not produce for decades, at least not meaningfully yet.
So have you gotten to try it yet?
So I haven't, but our friends over at the Rock Collective, if you guys are on Instagram, have been working on testing out the nixtamalization process and have provided some really interesting insights. So basically, you shell the acorns, toss them in a crock pot at 2 cups of water to 1 cup of acorn to 1 teaspoon of slaked lime. Don't let the water boil, run for 4 hours, at least that's how long they did it, and then you're ready to rinse and grind.
Okay, so it's like a wake-up routine, but instead of waking up and roasting and grinding the beans, you're rinsing and grinding my nuts? Sounds like a lot of screams and the frictiony sound of an indigenous sunburn.
Is that what we're calling it now?
No. It's just because I said an indigenous dude earlier. I was just, it's a callback.
Oh, okay.
Learn humor that's not puns, you fucking.
No.
No, that's a shirt. Learn
humor. My humor stopped at like fourth grade.
What? What?
Oh, yeah. Matt, we haven't gotten our sticker. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Are we going to, what did you say? Learn something other than puns?
Yeah, I said learn humor other than puns.
Yeah, that's a good sticker. No.
I think it's great.
As long as we have no at the end of it.
Yeah.
Or we sell two, one without the no and one with the no. So that people that hate puns can put the one without the no, and the people that love puns can have the one with the no. And maybe we can have like a contest and see who sells more.
Oh, man. Polling.
There's so many options we can do with that.
Yeah. It is really interesting. Like, we're talking about like processing acorns, and I feel like the way that we've been like talking about it up till now is like theoretical and like at the landscape scale, but like it is very interesting to just see like a recipe: 2 cups water, 1 cup acorns, 1 teaspoon of slaked lime.
It's a very easy measurement to follow.
That's what I was saying. That's what at the beginning of the episode I did mention, that like we know that it can be done, but we don't have a recipe. So being able to sort of figure it out, that's what turns it back into something that can be part of our food system and not just something that, you know, we used to eat it like back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Eat it now in the day.
Like I know how to make my grandma's Johnny cakes, but I don't really like cornmeal like that anymore. But like, you know, if I had to and that was all I had, you best believe I know how to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the recipe that I gave, their feedback was that it was slightly bland, but a good filler flour that was storable and pretty easy to process. The really big problem with acorns is that tannin levels vary widely, and we don't have a good enough relationship with like individual trees and reading our ecosystem to know which trees will produce what.
To be honest, it's kind of bland how acorn pancakes, the acorn pancakes that I've tasted, and maybe that's because some of the flavor was, you know, leached out with those tannins during the process. They didn't taste like I thought acorns would taste, and maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's possible. That flavor choice of blandness is like, it's not bad if you're looking for a filler though, right?
You've got like a whole like section of British listeners that are just like bland.
Oh, hell yeah.
Let me tear that up.
Fuck yeah. Salivating.
Give me one on camera right now. I'll tear that shit up.
They probably turned off at your accent. So
yeah.
Blows my mind. Conquered more than half the known world to discover spices. Use none of them in their home cuisine. It's fucked up. Selfish yeah. is what it is. It's not even selfish. I don't know what it is. It's like
it's arrogance.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Psychosis.
They took sugar and that's it.
Yeah, so depending on who you talk to and where the acorns they've harvested are from, and the process that they used for processing, the flavors can vary pretty widely from a nutty sourdough-like flavor to like nothing, or in some cases just bad. Again, this is due to that processing process, the oak variety, the climactic variances of the season, the thoroughness in processing the nuts themselves.
God, I'm having a PBSD flashback.
I don't think penicillin can fix that. What is PBSD?
Post-biochar stress disorder.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's great, except for when it isn't. And sometimes it's actually bad, but sometimes it's first bad, then good. Right, well, Andy?
So classic.
It's bad, but good.
Biochar?
And good until not good, but then it's bad.
You guys got it. I don't know what the problem is.
It is good.
Most right? confusing episode we've ever done after this one.
Good. So we didn't talk about the Southwest, though. I do want to talk about that really quickly. The Southwest has that area of tannin-free acorns, or historically has had this space. And it's just cool. Like, there's really not anything else to say about it except it's really freaking cool. So if you live out in the Southwest, like, check out those acorns. I don't think it's all the trees, but I think most of them, or there are varieties out there. I don't know much about the Southwest. Go check that shit out. But to wrap this all up that we're talking about, which we've just kind of scratched the surface on this whole subject area, the problem with this whole acorn processing is that it's a lot of work for not a lot of calories, right? Like, your typical red oak acorns will only produce about 600 calories for an hour of processing. that might not be terrible, but that doesn't include all the other processes that go into harvesting, picking through them, and so on. That's not exactly like this huge surplus, right?
No, it sounds like a good new crash course diet for me to get my wasteland bod for the end times. I'll just go live out in the woods about 3 days and process my own acorns, because I'm pretty sure that's all the food I'd be able to find. Not a foraging type. I will eat the wrong mushroom.
Can we start can we start like a diet like ad?
Forager fit.
I mean, we need results to do it.
It's
like an all
meat diet, but it's all acorns and you get so sick.
Yep.
I don't see anything going wrong with this. Sounds like a perfectly healthy. We need
results to do it and I'll do it.
Yeah. If you work at the FDA, hit me up. I got an idea.
Yeah, I know a guy.
Of course you do, because you work for the CIA.
Yeah.
Somehow went from getting your Raytheon gear to actually working for the government. It's just unbelievable.
It's one pen.
We joked about it.
I don't even know where I got it from. All right.
You know,
it just appeared.
It's
one
Raytheon
day.
Swag. I don't know where it came from. All right.
There's munitions. I don't know where they came from. It just came in a crate. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Not going to say I sold them freedom seeds. Okay.
Okay. One last thing I do want to talk about is that there are a few varieties that stand out, and well, really one. And that's the bur oak, specifically the ones that come from the southern part of North America. These are like the best of both worlds. They're massive acorns that are also low in tannins. So for context, by weight, they're 3 times larger than a typical red oak. And they're estimated to produce, in comparison to that 600 calories an hour that a red oak can produce, around 4,000 calories an hour. So that's like, 8 times more calories for the labor.
Okay, so that's the other side of the diet. Dude, we're going to get them on both ends. Like I said at the beginning of the episode, right? We're going to get them on the diet pills with the high tannin acorns, okay? And then we're going to get them on the sweet nut meat, 4,000 calorie an hour processing net gain. We'll do that, right?
It's going to be the Alex Jones workout program.
It's going to be my bulk and regimen. That's going to be the bulk and regimen. We're just going to get everybody swole for the end times where you're just eating acorns off the ground, just eating nuts.
Only if we can have Alex Jones be our spokesperson for it. That's the only way I'm doing it. Do you remember his workout supplement shit where he would like have the two pictures of them side by side?
Oh, and
I'm
going
to be honest, you definitely listen to more Alex Jones than I did.
You've never seen the Alex Jones?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. He's like doing a review of supplements and he's like, he's the before, he's the after, and he's the same.
Is exact same, but they changed the lighting.
Yeah, so I want to do that. Let's do that for our podcast. They work for his brand. Fuck him.
That would be funny.
Yeah, I said I'd do it. Let's do it. I'm doing it.
Yeah. So that way when they get cold.
I got to get to the Southwest.
We can say, no, these are, so the bur oak comes from Texas up to Minnesota.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting about this tree is that if they're up north, you may look at them and be like, these don't look like huge acorns. What drugs are these guys on? And the answer is, I don't know. Elliot can't say he's on any drugs because he works for the CIA. So he's clearly clean. He's never used a drug in his life.
No, just LSD for me. Thank you.
Yes, exactly. Nothing
that hasn't been FDA approved. And I love I love how that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, that's true. Now, these same varieties of oaks tend to grow smaller acorns further north. Now, researchers have kind of fallen on this like vague answer of environmental factors, seasonal factors, and so on. I'm not totally sold on that. I have a feeling there's a lot of breeding work going in by indigenous people for the bur oak in particular. The same way honey locusts were selectively bred and moved north by the Cherokee, or the Ozark chinkapin, which we'll be talking about in a couple episodes. So the point is that the bur oak really offers us a unique opportunity to explore the potential of a native tree crop that is great for the environment, easy to process, has massive caloric production per hour, while also, again, just being more palatable. It's something we've kind of touched on a little bit. We talked with Eliza Greenwin about this last summer.
Absolutely shameless plug. I love it. Also a great
interview.
That's
all we do.
Yeah, it was good. It was a good one.
So hopefully you all have learned a little bit in this episode. And maybe you're willing to give our good friends the acorns, the sky nuts, the corn of the tree, another shot. And if you've got any of those particularly beefy burrs in your backyard, send a couple of them to us.
All right. Now, listeners, he said beefy burrs. Don't send him anything else.
Burr. It's cold in here.
Yeah. You're not going to squeeze that in
there. There must be some big nuts in the atmosphere.
I'm so upset.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome, everyone.
It's worse than my Mile High joke.
Is it? Is it, though? So, yeah, if you enjoyed this, we do go a little bit more into the weeds, so to speak, in our Substack article on the subject. Plus, we've got those great graphics. Go check that out. And find us on Patreon for next week's interview, which is out now. Whoa. On the Patreon.
How?
Technology, Matt. It's beautiful.
That's not right now? Like, did it just go live when you said now, just now?
Now, yes.
Now.
This is what
can I do that? I want that power. Like, it's live now. Go now.
It's done.
We have that power because of the CIA, Elliot.
True.
It's thanks to your connections that we can do these kinds of things.
Wait a minute. You guys got that clearance? That was a joke. Wait, you guys tricked me.
It's on. We have it recorded. It's the end, Elliot.
Not it. No way.
It's done.
Yes.
Done for.
I haven't even got my badge yet, so it's not even official. So it's not even a big deal.
Doesn't even count. It's not even like you really work there.
No, I'm just an intern.
Just.
They don't pay me.
I pay them.
I do.
They don't validate parking. It sucks. Wait, that's another trick. See, you got. Come on, man. We got the claps.
1, 2, 3. Elliot's got the clap. He works for the CIA. So many things we're learning at the beginning of season 4. So,
season 4.
You know about the Wiggles.